You are the one our hearts adore. That's, I pray, the desire of my heart, that that's the truth of who I am, that there is nothing and no one that I desire more than Jesus. No one that I want to know more. No one that I want to be closer to. No one that I want to follow more faithfully than the one who died for me, than the God who loves me so much that He's willing to forgive me of my sins and restore me into right relationship with Him. The only one that's worthy of my life. Man, we serve a wonderful God. This is the time when we release our children and volunteers to Children's Church, so we want to invite you guys to head in that direction. The rest of you, while you're in here, if you would, take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 4. If you don't have your Bible with you, there's some Bibles in the pews. You can pull one of those up. If you've got it on your phone, then feel free to pull out your phone and find Mark chapter 4. We're walking through the book of Mark, and this is a time in the teaching of Jesus as He is trying to help the disciples understand what it means to be a member of the kingdom of God. And that's something that we desperately need to understand, because we've got this false assumption and this unbiblical idea that being a member of the kingdom of God is simply meant by being baptized and have your name on the church roll. There are innumerable people think that just because their name's on the church roll, they're part of the kingdom of God. That's just not true. Jesus teaching and preaching to the multitudes and relating to them what it means to be a member of the kingdom of God, what it means to be a member of the family of God, and what that entails, and the evidence that must be present in order for there to be an assurance of salvation and assurance of kingdom membership. And he's telling, and he's telling these parables and these stories, and you got to remember, a parable is simply Jesus taking a common understanding and linking it to a spiritual truth, something that they know something about in their life, something that they've experienced, something they can connect with, and then telling a spiritual truth in the parameters of that understanding. It's trying to bring things to a place where people can understand. Now, it says here that, and in this passage, and several times, it says He didn't speak to the crowds unless He spoke to them in parables. And then when He got the disciples alone, He would begin to explain those parables. That's a truth and something that we wrestle with, but it's a truth in our own lives as children of God. When we receive Jesus Christ, we surrender our hearts and our lives to Him, and He invades our life with the Holy Spirit, and He begins to live within us. There are things that we didn't understand before that we're incapable of understanding without the Holy Spirit explaining them to us. The Bible says that the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to those who are being saved, it is the wisdom of God. It's the power of God unto salvation. Spiritual things must be spiritually discerned. People that don't have the Spirit of God can't understand the things of God. They can agree with some things, those things that say, hey, you're supposed to love everybody, you're supposed to forgive people. But to understand them, to live them out, requires the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. And Jesus, since the Holy Spirit hadn't come yet, these men who had given their lives and said, hey, we want to follow You. We're beginning to understand who You are. Don't know the fullness of what it means that You're the Messiah. Don't know understand that the fullness of what it means that You're the Savior. But we want to know more, and we're going to follow You. We're going to dedicate our lives to knowing You. And so he's telling these parables to the crowd, but when he gets these guys to the side, he's functioning as the Holy Spirit, and he begins to explain to them what this teaching means. And he's saying, look, not everybody that hears the Word of God, not everybody that hears the gospel is going to be saved, and that's the parable of the four souls. There are going to be some that hear it and immediately just discount it as foolishness. It's ridiculous. Immediately the devil takes it away. Man, that's ridiculous. That's just old wives' tales. That's just bunk. And then there's some that's going to hear it. Hey, that sounds pretty good. I want to turn over a new leaf. I want to be a better me, you know. Yeah, I'll take some of this Jesus. And then shortly after that, it sprouts up, and they're here for a couple of weeks or a couple of months and gone, and you never see them again. Don't know anything about them. Don't see any fruit in their lives that they've changed. They just had a religious experience. Then you got those that it sprouts up and, man, it seems like they're doing really good, but then when the stresses of life and when the Word of God begins to conflict with what they want to do in life and what they're comfortable with doing in life, and when it comes down, they've got to choose to follow God or follow themselves in the world, they give up on God and start following and living for themselves, and the rest of their life is fruitless, and their life is unmarked by the presence of God, and they just had a religious experience, just lasted a little longer, but because there was no depth, no root, no connection with the Savior. Then the fourth, this good soil that sprouts up, they accept it, they receive it, it takes root in their heart, and then it produces fruit in their life. Those are kingdom people. And he began to give some warnings in the next passage we looked at last week of things you got to be careful who you listen to. Be careful what you measure your behavior by. You got to measure it by the truth of God's Word and who you listen to and what you decide you're going to live your life based on. Then in this next few passages, he tells two specific parables about the kingdom of God. It says here he's telling many parables, but Mark identifies two stories that will help these disciples understand a little bit more of what it means to be a part of the kingdom of God and how the kingdom of God works. Now, one of these, or both of these actually, but the first one deals with the mystery of the kingdom of God. Because see, as a disciple, as one who wants to see other people saved, as a pastor, you know, you kind of want to hedge your bets at times. You want to look at people's lives and say, okay, I think they're ready for the gospel. You know, I think it won't be a waste of my time to invest in them. Or you see somebody and they're so far gone, you think, man, we just got to give them some more time, let them go down and hit rock bottom yet before they're ready. You know, I'm just going to hedge my bets. I'm going to pick and choose who I'm going to share with. We all struggle with that. And Jesus knew that the disciples were going to struggle with that. Then, hey, when you don't see things changing like you think they ought to, or somebody comes to Christ and immediately you don't see this radical change in their life, and you don't see them quit smoking immediately, or quit drinking immediately, or quit cussing immediately, quit that bad habit they've had immediately, you think, well, they must not have been saved. And so you tend to give up and you tend to get frustrated. And as a pastor, you up here, you know, you're preaching every Sunday and you're trying to share the Word of God, you're trying to share the truth of God, and your passion, your desire is to see people's lives change, and most time all you get is... And it's easy to get discouraged. And you think, well, they're just not getting it. Man, they're just spiritually dead. God knows, and Jesus knew with his disciples this great task of taking the gospel around the world and increasing the kingdom of God. He wanted them to understand, look, this isn't something that's going to happen overnight. It's not going to be easy. This is a process. And when people get saved, it's a process of sanctification. Now, that's a big church word. That means being set apart. Now, it's one of those things that happens immediately. We're sanctified when we accept Jesus Christ and we surrender our hearts and our life to the Lordship of God and His Word. We are sanctified. We're set apart as the children of God. But then there's a process that takes place till we die called sanctification. We're continually being changed. We're continually growing in the Word of God. We're continually growing in the love of God. We're continually growing in our faith and growing in our obedience. We're continually becoming more and more like Christ. That's the process of sanctification. And Jesus wanted the disciples to know, look, guys, you're going to plant a lot of seeds. You're going to share the gospel, and I want you to share the gospel at every opportunity you have, understanding that there's some not going to believe. There's some that they're going to believe and like the concept, but not be devoted and not surrender their life, so they're not going to be saved, they're not going to be any fruit. But then you're going to see those that, man, are going to produce a lot of fruit. He said, but you keep casting, you keep spreading the gospel, you keep planting the seeds, you keep watering. Don't give up. Because you got to understand that the kingdom of God depends on the work of God. See, one of the greatest things that relieved the pressure off of me and helped me overcome a lot of stress in the ministry was understanding that your growth is between you and God. You know, I can preach, and my job is to preach the truth, to live the truth, to encourage the truth, and to help you, and to walk with you, and to be there for you, and to be as much of a help and assistance as I can. And we're supposed to help one another and look for ways that we can encourage one another to love and good works. But ultimately, the responsibility for your personal growth is between you and God. And I can't make you grow. I can't even make you want to. And as the disciples are being led into this kingdom understanding, becoming the kingdom people, he says, look, the kingdom, the growth in the kingdom of God is dependent on the power of God and the work of God, not on you. You've got a part to play. We've got a responsibility to spread the seed, to sow the seed. We've got a responsibility to walk alongside people. But we're not responsible for their salvation, and we're not responsible for their growth. But when people get it, and when they surrender their lives to God, there is absolutely evidence of life transformation. There is much fruit that's born. So these next two parables that he tells is to encourage them, but to also create in them a sense of perseverance and stick-to-itiveness. Don't give up. Don't stop. You never really know what God is doing in the lives of people. If you will stand with me as we begin to read Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 26. And he was saying, the kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. And he goes to bed at night and he gets up by day, and the seed sprouts and grows, and how he himself does not know. The soil produces crops by itself, first the blade, and then the head, then the mature grain of the head. But when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. And he said, how shall we picture, or how shall we compare the kingdom of God, or by what parable shall we represent it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when sown upon the soil, though it's smaller than all the other seeds that are upon the soil, yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and forms large branches, so that the birds of the air can rest under its shade. With many parables, he was speaking the word to them as far as they were able to hear it. And he did not speak without a parable, but was explaining everything in private to his disciples. Let's pray. Lord God, I'm so thankful that you are a God who is at work in the lives of people. I'm so thankful that you are outside of time and space and matter. I'm so thankful that you are everywhere at all times, and you know the end from the beginning. Your knowledge is perfect, and your will is perfect. And your work is often unseen, but working through the things of this world and even the troubles of life, God, to draw people, to grow people, to create disciples. So God, as we come to this time and we look at this, what it means to be a kingdom participant, God, I pray that you would help us to see that we have a responsibility in the kingdom to share the gospel, to plant the seeds, to be in it for the long haul, to never grow weary of doing good. That God, help us not to take on responsibilities that are not ours, and Lord, help us not get discouraged and defeated. God, help us understand what success is as a kingdom member. Lord, help us understand that, Lord, we're involved in something that's so much bigger than ourselves. It's not even about us. It's about you. So, Lord, today as we come to this place, as we sit down before your word, I pray that you'd give us ears to hear. Lord, you'd give us a heart of flesh that's moldable and teachable, that wants to obey what you tell us. God, if there's someone here that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, that God, today would be the day of salvation for them. Today would be the day that your Holy Spirit removes the blinders, and God, they see the truth of what it means to be a kingdom person, to be a part of your kingdom, to be a part of your family, and they would surrender their hearts and their lives to you. God, today would be the first day of eternity in a close, personal, intimate relationship with you. God, we want it all to happen for your glory, not for ours. We want it all to happen for your namesake, not for ours. We want it all to happen for your kingdom, not so that we can create a kingdom of our own. So God, we just ask that you do what only you can do for your glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So again, remember, Jesus is talking to the crowds, but he's also talking to his disciples. He's trying to help them understand that he has come to bring the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, to earth. That's why his message is, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. It's present in him, and it's available to those who will receive it, those who will surrender their lives to it, those who will lay down themselves so that they can live in the presence and the power of God himself. The kingdom of heaven is near. But just because it's near doesn't mean that everyone experiences it. And you can be in church all your life. You can be around the things of God. You can be around the Word of God. You can be around the people of God. You can even try and imitate them. But until you become a member of the kingdom, it's just near. Until you surrender your heart and your life, the kingdom of heaven is just near. It's until you surrender yourself to the lordship of Jesus Christ, until you lay down your life and say, Jesus, I want to live for you. I want your Holy Spirit to fill my heart. I want your Holy Spirit to fill my mind. I want you to change everything about me. I want to be this new creature that you said we're supposed to be. Only then are you a member of the kingdom of God. You can be a member of Oak Grove Baptist Church your entire life and never be a member of the kingdom. You can be a member of any church denomination you want to join. You can be a member of as many of them as you want to join. You can hop from one to the other till you hear what you think you like. But until you lay your life down, until you deny yourself, you'll never be a member of the kingdom. And there's going to be a lot of church members from Oak Grove Baptist Church, have been in the past, that have died and gone to hell with a name on a church roll. There's been a lot of them at Indian Springs Baptist Church, my home church. Been a lot of them at Hillside Baptist Church, every other church I've been a member of. Jesus says, look, the fruit that's produced in your life is the proof of membership in the kingdom. It's only by the fruit. That's the only thing that designates or separates all the examples that he uses. It's the fruit that's produced, the changed life that's made. So he's telling his disciples, look, we're about creating or increasing the kingdom. We're about inaugurating the kingdom of God here, and that's going to be your responsibility to share the gospel with all the world, to plant the seed to as many people as you can, but understand that the growth comes from God. He says here, look, the kingdom of God is like or can be compared to a man who sows the seed. Now, back in their day, you didn't plant seeds or crops in a row. You prepared the ground as best you could, and you took a bag of seed, and you just went and you started slinging the seed. It's called broadcasting the seed. That's why some fell on good soil, some fell on rocky soil, some fell on hard soil, some fell on the pathway, because you just sling the seed. You just go wherever it falls, and hope it takes root. That's the same thing with the gospel. If we're going to be gospel people, if we're going to be kingdom builders, we can't be selective on where we plant the seed. Okay, it's all got to be in a pretty little row. Got to be exactly 6 inches apart. No, Jesus said, look, you cast the seed, you spread it out all over the place. and hope it lands on good soil. If it lands on rocky soil, that's not your business. If it lands on the path, that's okay. If it lands and sprouts for a little while and the devil takes it away, that's not your business. Your responsibility is sow the seed as liberally and as often and as many places and as many lives as you can. It's not for us to judge the soul. It's not for us to see if somebody's ready for the gospel. It says you just share it. Your responsibility is to sow the seed. Because the kingdom of God is like this. The seed is sown and the farmer just goes to sleep. He don't know how it sprouts. Back then, they didn't have a clue about understanding how plants sprout and grow. They just know they put a seed down the ground, it dies, and a new one comes up. And if they're fortunate enough, and they take good care of it, and they water it enough, and they tend it enough, it produces some grain, so they'll have bread for the next year. Produces a little corn, so they can have some cornbread. Something to fry their fish in. That's all they know. They don't know how it works. And see, the mystery of the kingdom is this. I can't tell you how God saves somebody. I just know that when you share the gospel and they surrender to it, Jesus produces a new creature. Salvation has come. The kingdom of God has increased when they surrender to the truth of God's word and the lordship of Jesus Christ. He says, look, they spread the seed, and it says he goes to bed at night and he gets up by day. Now, the wording here is that it's something that goes on for a long time. Go to bed at night, go to bed at night, get up in the morning. Do what a farmer does, go to bed at night, get up in the morning, do what a farmer does. It's a long period. It's a time lapse. Said, I don't know how the seed sprouts, but over time I see the sprout start to poke its head up out of the dirt. And then it begins to grow and it puts on a few leaves here and there. And over a period of time, as I get up and I water it, and as I get up and I tend to it, and as I get up and I see how it's doing, over time I see fruit being born. The heads of grain are produced. It's a long process. Jesus is telling the disciples, look, you're going to see the seed sprout. You're going to see the gospel take hold. But don't think that everything is going to change overnight. Don't think that the people you share the gospel with are going to be fixed immediately. But also remember, you're not either. That this sprouting of the gospel, this growing into fruit, takes time. And it's the work of God. God is the one who causes the seed to sprout. God is the one who causes it to grow. And God is the one who causes it to bring forth fruit. Paul put it this way. He was sharing the gospel and been preaching. And look, the folks there were saying, hey, look, I like Paul's preaching. You know, I was saved under Paul, so man, I know the truth of the gospel. And one of them said, well, Paul was a good preacher, but Apollos, man, he was better. He could explain things. Man, he made it to where you could understand it. And you know, so I'm a follower of Apollos. You follow Paul, but man, I'm going to listen to his preaching. Paul said, what is Paul? What is Apollos? We just simply sowed the seed. One sowed, one watered. But it's God that caused the increase. It's God's the one that caused the growth. God's the one that caused the fruit to be produced. So don't think anything about your preacher. Don't think anything about me. He said, look, focus on God. He's the one that causes you to grow. He's the one that causes you to bear fruit. It's not me. It's not Brother Thompson. It's not Brother Mike Barnett. It's none of those. Now, you might have had a favorite preacher. That's fine. But that preacher ain't going to get you to heaven. That preacher ain't the one that's going to cause you to grow in your faith. That preacher's not the one that's going to cause you to become who God wants you to be. Now, hopefully we're all planting and watering and helping and working and helping you grow into what God wants you to be. But that's ultimately between you and God. Here again, it's not the preacher's fault if you ain't growing spiritually. It ain't the preacher's fault if the church ain't growing unless he's doing something against God's word. We put way too much emphasis on who the preacher is rather than the one he's preaching about. I love you, and I want you to love me. I love you, and I want to be here for years and years and years. It's fine with me if I retire from here. But if God moves me from this place, that's got nothing to do with whether you're going to grow or not going to grow. Only God can produce growth. Only God can produce maturity. Only God can produce fruit in your life. Jesus told the parable of the vine and the vine dresser in John chapter 14. He said, God's the vine dresser. He's the one that lifts up. God, he's the one that prunes. He's the one that causes the fruit to be grown. Stay connected to the vine. I want to point you to the vine. I want to introduce you to the vine. I want you to help you stay connected. I want to water you. I want to help you understand the importance of growing. But ultimately, it's only you can surrender to that. I can't make my children follow God. I can't make my children obey God. I can't make you. It's only when you fall in love with Jesus. It's only when you surrender your heart and your life to Him that God can do what only God can do. So He's telling the disciples, look, the guy who plants a seed doesn't understand. There's a mystery about the growth, spiritual growth of a person. But he goes to bed at night and he gets up in the daytime and he sees the growth in the plant and he sees eventually the maturity of the fruit and he celebrates with the harvest. The kingdom is increased. More and more people are being saved. More and more people are being transformed. And each individual is being changed, but there's also this huge field of harvest. See, if every individual plant that's planted in a wheat field doesn't produce fruit, guess what? The field doesn't produce fruit. It takes each individual plant growing and maturing and producing fruit for there to be a harvest out of the field. I've told you this before in the church. The church cannot do what you personally will not do. The church isn't going to become more and more like God unless you are becoming more and more like Jesus. The church isn't going to be sharing the gospel unless you aren't sharing the gospel. The church isn't going to be showing the fruit of the Holy Spirit in it unless you are showing the fruit of the Holy Spirit in it. I can preach all I want. I can do whatever I can do. You can want the church to grow. You can want the church to see people saved. You can want the church to share the gospel. But if you're not doing it, if all you do is come and sit your tail on a bench, Oak Grove Baptist Church will never, never see the kingdom growth that God wants us to. That old saying, that proverb, a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. The church is only as strong as its weakest Christian. The church only shares the gospel to the extent of each individual member shares the gospel. See, it's so vitally important that each individual plant, each individual member of the kingdom produces fruit, because when you see that individual plant producing and then you've got 500 individual plants producing, you call that a harvest. That's a means to celebrate. Provision has been produced. Growth has been produced. But you go out there in the middle of a field and you got a whole bunch of honeysuckle vines and one sprout sticking up with some fruit on it. It's kind of sad, ain't it? You go out into the field and you've sown the seed and you see a whole bunch of thorns and thistles out there and one or two plants sticking up with a couple of grains of wheat on it. You think, oh man, that's sad. No celebration there. But we come to the church. We see 100, 200, 2,000 people in the church, but you only see the fruit of God in one or two or three. How sad does that make God? And we wonder why the church didn't grow. We wonder why the kingdom of God didn't expand. We wonder why the world's going to hell in a handbasket. It's because the members of the kingdom aren't producing fruit personally and then expecting the church to be fruitful. I got a newsflash for you. The title Oak Grove Baptist Church is not the church. You is the church. And if you're not doing it, the church is not doing it. But when you do surrender, when you do grow and you do produce fruit, the church, the world has something to celebrate. God has something to celebrate. But God's the one that produces the fruit. We just need to be persistent in spreading the gospel, be persistent in getting up every day and doing what we're supposed to do, living out our faith, living out our walk, living out the kingdom of God in our lives. We just get up and do what the farmers do, just like he did. He got up, he went to bed at night, got up in the morning, went to bed at night, got up in the morning, did what a farmer does, and then the harvest comes. We need to spread the seed, the gospel, as much as we can, then just get up and do what Christians do, what the children of God do, what kingdom people do, live under the authority of God and trust God to grow the kingdom. Then he goes on, he says, in the second parable that Mark records here, he says, and what should we compare the kingdom of God to? He says, let's compare it to the mustard seed. The mustard seed is the smallest seed that's planted in a garden. He says, but yet when it grows and it does well and it flourishes, it becomes the tallest plant in the garden. It's a little bitty, tiny seed. You barely can see it in the palm of your hand, but when you put it in the ground and it sprouts, it would grow up to about 6 to 10 feet tall. A good sized shrub. And it would produce these big limbs and big shade. And it says, look, it's like the kingdom of God's like a grain of mustard. You plant it and it grows up big and all the birds of the air can come and rest and nest in that kingdom. He says, look, it starts really small. And in the hearts of the individual, the kingdom of God starts small. It's planted as a seed. And maybe at first you really can't see a whole lot of evidence that the seed's even there. But it begins to grow. And as it begins to grow in that person, their love for God grows. Their relationship with God grows. And God tends their heart and God tends their life and begins to transform their heart. They begin to grow up and they show the presence of God. They become a force that changes the landscape. The church is like that. Jesus was talking to 12 men who he was going to leave with the responsibility of taking the kingdom of God throughout all the world. Matthew 28, 19, 20. Go ye therefore into all the world. He says, look, it's starting small with just 12 men. But don't think about where it starts. You got to look at where it's ending. By the power of God, it's going to grow from that little bitty seed to something that the whole world takes notice of. Same thing in your heart. You think, man, I'm just not doing much. I'm just not experiencing much. I just don't see much fruit. If you'll continue to grow and walk in faithfulness, if you'll continue to seek after God, then He will begin to grow you up to where other people can come and rest and find the truth of the kingdom, where other people can come and experience the shade of the grace of God, where other people can come and know the love of God as you live out your life. So both of these parables have recommendations or have truths for the individual and for the church as a whole. We may think, Oak Grove Baptist Church, well, we're not a big church, man. You think about First West, you think about some of these other big churches got several thousand members, man, and they're just blowing and going. We're just so small. And Jesus said, don't think about the beginning. Don't focus on the beginning. Focus on what God can do when we surrender to Him. Focus on what God can do with a little as much when God is in it. Remember that old song? The kingdom of God started with 12 men. And if you read in Revelation chapter 5, you read in Revelation chapter 7, you read in Revelation chapter 14, you see that the kingdom of heaven grows and it has an impact around the world, because you see worshiping around the throne in Revelation chapter 7, men from every tribe and every tongue and every nation worshiping the Lamb. See, in the Old Testament, the birds represent the nations of the world. If you read in Ezekiel and in Daniel and Isaiah, the birds of the air represent the nations of the earth. And here Jesus is saying, look, the kingdom of God is like this mustard seed. It starts really small, but it grows up, and it's going to be inviting all the nations of the world. It's going to be calling everyone to come and rest. Come and nest. Come and make your life in the kingdom of God. So even though we're small, even though we're not very large in numbers, we can be global in context and contact and impact. It's what God did with the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. When we surrender what we have, no matter how small it is, God will use it to impact so many people. The kingdom of God is bigger than us. God's ability to use us is bigger than we can ever imagine if we will just surrender. The kingdom of heaven is so much different than we think. The kingdom of heaven is when we surrender our hearts and our lives to Jesus. We give all that we are to Him and let Him use it for His glory. The kingdom increases by the power of God. The impact we have increases by the power of God. We are part of something so much bigger than just us. But we can't experience it until we die to ourselves, take up our cross daily, and follow Him. A seed doesn't sprout until it first dies. After it dies, it can sprout into a new plant and produce some 30, some 60, some 100-fold as the master gardener nurtures and grows us. Are you a member of the kingdom? Are you just near the kingdom? Are you playing around the gate? Or have you entered in? Do you just know about Jesus? Or have you surrendered your life to Jesus? If you have, He wants to produce a lot of fruit in your life. He wants to show you what in the world what you can do. Surrender your life to Him today. Church, my question is, are we focusing on how small we are and how little we have? Or are we focusing on how big God is and what God can do if we just give it up to Him? Are we sharing the gospel at every chance we get? Doesn't matter if they believe or not. That's between them and God. But they're not going to believe unless they hear. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Yeah, you need to live a good life. You need to live out your faith. You need to be a good example. But that's not going to get anybody saved. That just makes them curious. So when you do share the gospel, they can believe it. So live it, then speak it, so they can come to faith. Let's see what God will do. Man, let's be kingdom people. Let's be kingdom-minded. Let's be kingdom-oriented. Let's be kingdom-focused. Let's see God increase His kingdom in us and then through us. Would you stand with me, please?